Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the weather is absolutely magnificent, virtually perfect spring day, which means, of course, the pollen is out. That's okay, though. We have had it so cold for so long because of the certainty of global warming that we are thrilled that spring is finally upon us in the 1st of April. In a little over a week, they'll be playing the Masters in Augusta, and I mean to tell you, they're going to have to use the heaters to get those flowers to where they are all blooming, which they have not been. That is for certain. All right, folks. Yesterday, I put a post on Facebook, and it created quite a stir. So far, there have been 311 people that have shared it, with thousands more looking at their posts. I've had 100 people make responses to it. And, I mean, it was going back and forth, and Sunday, which, of course, is the day of rest, was one where I was absolutely just, you know, fighting alligators all day long talking about this because there were some people that didn't like it. Here's what it was. There's a picture of our First Lady, Michelle Obama, in China. There was a spring celebration where there were dancers and stuff, and she's a participant holding two red flags, one in the right hand, one in the left, with a defiant look on her face, holding them up in a sign of victory. Now, my comment on this was simply, quote, can you think of any other First Lady in the history of the United States who would ever cheer and wave using the red flag of the Chinese? Then I added, this woman has no class whatsoever, which I believe to be true. Now, there were many people that didn't like that, of course, and yet at the same time, I didn't have not one person who is a Kool-Aid drinker for Barack Obama answer the question. Rosalind Carter would never do that, even though her husband was not a competent president. Could you see either Barbara Bush or Laura Bush doing it? Even Hillary Clinton would be politically savvy enough to know not to do that. Now, there were people that said to me, said, well, this is just something where somebody was, you know, waving, you know, kind of ribbon type things. Well, they really are flags. And this is what people waved during the Communist Revolution, when Mao Zedong was defeating the nationalist forces and created Red China, which is still a communist nation, and our banker for the Obama administration, who has increased our debt over 60% in 5 years and is certain to double it in his entire 8-year tenure as president. Now, what I want to ask you is this. Is something like this a big deal or no deal? Personally, I think that any time someone is representing the United States of America, as Michelle Obama is in China, and you say, well, she's just there on vacation. She's there on vacation. If you're getting your vacation paid for by the government, and you're over there allegedly on some kind of cultural mission, isn't that something that you should pay attention to? I would say yes. I would say decidedly yes. And the flag is a very big deal. A very big deal in America that our president has not saluted it and has not participated in the Pledge of Allegiance at different times. It's a big deal. And those are the kind of things that really are bothersome to me. And we have our first caller for today, so I'm going to bring this person on. Hello, this is Jack Watts. You're on Jack Watts Live. Hello? Hello? Whoever's at 386-1108, you're on the line. Well, I guess they were just a little bit nervous to talk to the great master here on Jack Watts Live, which, of course, is not true. I'm not a great master. But these issues are indeed important. And just by the way, to call in, call 347-326-9949. Now, for us to have First Lady who would do this and a president who essentially is waving a white flag with Putin is not in our best interest. It's not in our best interest at all. And it's a very, very difficult thing to process, to accept, to even get your arms around. It isn't just that we elected him. We re-elected this guy. He's our leader. And we're in full retreat globally. How does that work? I don't get that at all. Now, let me just ask my brother. Richard, how are you?
I'm good. We're down 2-1, so I'm not happy, but that's all right.
You know, there's 182 games. And
yeah.
Yeah, 162 games, excuse me. And this is just one. All right. Now, we had Michelle Obama. And, you know, with all of the things happening in the world, I suppose in one sense this is kind of minor, but it just bespeaks an attitude towards our nation that is something that the First Lady is waving the red flag in communist China, and she's representing the United States of America there on taxpayer airplane with the Secret Service championing the communist cause, the First Lady of the United States of America. Is there anybody, any First Lady that would ever do that? Would Eleanor Roosevelt? Would Mamie Eisenhower?
I think she's doing it because the Chinese people are following a eating regimen that she appreciates of rice and whatever, so that they're lean and mean, and that's her kind of people.
Well, mean anyway.
Well, they're all kind of lean, too.
Well, I suppose in the United States of America, when we have, you know, a third of the people or more who are obese, You know, there are some things that we definitely need to change. When we were kids, there wasn't anybody fat in school. Dickie Howard, he was the only guy that was fat in the whole school. Don't you remember?
Well,
nobody was fat.
Richard Kimball was kind of fat.
We won't talk about him. He had more problems than that, folks. But we are going to go into that because we are on the air. We're going to drop that one. There will be some people that will privately message me asking me what you're talking about there. All right, listen. In all of this, I also want to talk a little bit about the upcoming election because this is, in my estimate, I mean, every time there's an election, a national election, people say this is the most important one in American history. And, of course, some of them really are, but most of them aren't. Now, I believe that this one is definitely one of the more important ones. And the reason is because there are 21 Democrats that are up for election or Democrats that have retired and their seats are up for election, and either 12 or 13 Republicans, including a couple that have retired, like Saxby Chambliss here in Georgia. And the way it is right now, there are 55 Democrats and 45 Republicans. And as a result, Harry Reid, as you know, as the leader of the Senate, can do whatever he wants. And he ratifies the Obama agenda 100% all along the way. And, you know, even though last week they found that he was guilty of inappropriate use of campaign funds and benefiting his granddaughter, whose name was like Anne Elizabeth Reed, leaving off the Reed when he reported it, like her name is Anne Elizabeth, you know, to cover his tracks because he knew it was wrong. And yet, you know, this isn't a big news story. I promise you right now, if that was John Boehner or Mitch McConnell, they'd be calling for their heads. We are in a situation in America where the news reporting is patently unfair. And so what happens as a result of it? There are people like you and me who get on blog radio or put up Facebook posts or do Twitter or do whatever we can do, which is minimal, to put the truth out there so that there will be people that will listen, and there are some people that listen to us. I mean, there are a couple of thousand. But that's, I mean, you know, that's not like multiplied millions that watch the CBS News or NBC News or ABC, anything like that. There are more, you know, there are people that, you know, will watch Fox Cable News, you know, Bret Baier Report. But they don't. That doesn't, I don't think that approximates the size of the audience for network news. And here we go. If we don't capture the Senate, which means a plus 6 seats, there will be no repeal of the Obama agenda. Now, if Congress is 100% in opposition, as the House of Representatives surely is, and have done a really good job of pushing back against Obama and the corruption, the monumental corruption. We have criminals who are running our nation, criminals who really should do time for, you know, for the crimes that they're committing, but it isn't going to happen. All we can do is vote them out of office, and it's going to take more than 50% plus one to do so. Because of the corruption, we got to get 53 or 54% to just, you know, go against the people that vote 6 or 8 times and the dead people. It's amazing to me that all the dead people, you know, vote for the Democrats, but they do. So what is the strategy to, you know, to take the Senate? It's to keep the seats that you have, fill the vacant seat in Georgia with another Republican, which, by the way, the person the Democrats are putting up is Sam Nunn's daughter. And Sam Nunn was a pretty decent senator in his day, but that was a day where some of the Democrats were really more centrist type candidates and not these radical left people that, you know, that are out there now. But at any rate,
do you remember you remember Lincoln Chafee, who was the senator from Rhode Island?
Yes.
His son is the governor, and he's an idiot. A complete buffoon. This is the guy that decided that we should no longer call them Christmas trees. We call them holiday trees. And he has now decided not to run for governor again because, well, I think his approval rating is about 9 points lower than Obama, which probably below
mid-30s. Low to mid-30s.
You know, sometimes the apple rolls way, way, way away from the tree.
Yes, it does. All right, for those who are listening, here's the deal. We've got to make a change in North Carolina, keep what we've got in Georgia, make a change in Louisiana, Arkansas, Montana, Nebraska, win in Colorado, making a change there, and getting rid of that odious cretin in Minnesota. Let him go back to Saturday Night Live and say, I'm special, and doggone it, people like me. Al Franken. The buffoon of the Senate. Fool that he is. Get rid of him. All of these things can happen, and they can and should. There will be a solid wall of opposition against Obama and the tyranny and the corruption and out-and-out criminality of the Democrats right now. And at some point, someone is going to tell the truth about Benghazi. We have just bring this up all the time. We still do not know who gave the stand-down order. We do not know what Obama did. We know what he did in the middle afternoon, and then the next thing we know, he's getting on a plane to go to Las Vegas for a fundraiser and to party with Jay-Z and Beyonce. That's all that we know that he did, period. Now, we don't know who gave the stand-down order. We don't know. We have not heard from any of the survivors in open testimony. Why? It's well over a year and a half after this has happened, and we still don't have answers. What was going on? We don't know about Fast and Furious. But I'll tell you one thing that is really resonating now, and that is this. The NSA spying on people. The millennials are solidly against President Obama and his cronies invading their privacy. And I don't blame them. Now there are plenty of Republicans that, you know, that agree with that should happen too. I'm not one of them. Maybe you are. But to me, you know, that we have a right We have a right to be on this telephone and talking to this radio station and broadcasting without being spied on by the Obama dadgum administration, and I resent the hell out of it. Don't you? Those of you who are listening, don't you resent that they know that you are listening to me and that somehow that's a check mark against you? When we have free speech that is – here's the problem. People think that free speech is something that's granted by the government. That's not true. Freedom of speech, freedom to bear arms, freedom to not incriminate yourself is an inalienable right granted to us by our Creator, not by Barack Hussein Obama. You want to add anything to that?
No, I get further and further upset with what's happening in this country, and I don't know. If he had his way, I'm afraid that he would be maybe the first black Hitler. I think he thinks nothing better than to turn us into something that, and you know what? What bothers me is that people just sit back and let it happen.
Well, you know, quite honestly, you know, Putin is the one that is the strong nationalist, as Hitler was. And, you know, he's the one where the people love Putin because he's standing up for Russia. Why do we dislike Barack Obama? He doesn't stand up for America. He throws us all under the bus. He gives away our advantages. He won't let us drill for our own oil and become self-sufficient. There were 70 senators and congressmen that signed a letter asking him when he visited Saudi Arabia to make an issue of religious freedom in Saudi Arabia because there is so much religious persecution to the extent that one of the people in the White House press corps was not allowed to come into Saudi Arabia with Obama and the rest of the press corps. And you know the reason why?
He was Jewish.
Yeah. He was Jewish. So they wouldn't, and you know what?
Obama didn't say anything about it.
No, he didn't. Now, when he went to Russia, not this time, but the time before for the G20, when he went to St. Petersburg, he filled his entourage with gay people as an in-your-face to Putin. Saying, you know, that they were coming because, you know, the Russians don't care for gay people. And, you know, and he made a stand for it. I think that that's a good thing for him to have done, frankly. I don't have any problem with him doing that. What I do have a problem with is that he would do that and not this, that he would not stand for the rights of Jewish people to exist, not stand for the rights of Christian people who are persecuted throughout the Middle East. You know, less than 100 years ago, 20% of the inhabitants of the Middle East were Christian people. Now it's less than 2% because they've been murdered and persecuted, and they're either dead or left. So, you know, this is the religion of peace, my ass. It just isn't true.
Isn't it?
It's a complete lie.
How many mosques and Al-Qaeda affiliations are in America, and how many churches are in the Middle East?
Good question. There were a lot of churches in the Middle East, but most of them have been turned into mosques.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that they may be churches, but the Christians don't go there for an obvious
exactly
reason.
Right. For example, in Istanbul, it may be the oldest cathedral in the world. And it's Lou Mosque, and it was the Basilica of St. Nicholas or something like that, or Bartholomew, I'm not sure. But, I mean, it's a huge, it's magnificent. It's enormous, but it is now a mosque and not a Christian church, and has not been for, centuries. Probably since the time of the Saracens and, 1,000 years ago. And of course, when they talk about religious persecution, the progressives say, well, the Christians had their, had their crusades, and, so that Christians could be involved in religious persecution. They got to go back 1,000 years for that one. But, that's what they do, and when was the last thing that is a known terror attack of Muslims? Well, I mean, we've had them in the last year, and certainly, just as we talked about on the show a year ago, there in Boston with the marathon, which is just about to start again. I mean, they're 8 or 10 days from the marathon, from Patriots Day, aren't they?
Yeah, and they've got the starting and finish lines all painted and ready to go.
I think it's
10th or 12th or something of April. Maybe. No, I think it's the 14th. I don't know why, but I do.
That's the day that you have to do your taxes because they're due the 15th. I think it's the 10th, but I'm not sure.
The 10th is a Thursday, and it's always a Monday, so it's either the 7th or the 14th. And last year it was on the 15th, which they extended it a day, so it's probably the 14th.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, here we are, and we have episode after episode of horrific things. They talk about, the Republicans having a war on women, and yet all of the if there is a war on women, it's certainly Muslims.
Yeah.
I mean. Marrying 9-year-olds, just crazy things, and somehow this is something that we're supposed to be able to accept and believe in as okay. It ain't okay, and I don't believe in it, and it's not part of American history, as Obama said. That Muslims are a great part of American history. Baloney. It's a lie. There were none of them that came over with the Pilgrims or the Puritans, none of them. And that was the foundation of our nation, not Islam, period. All right. Well, we're out of time. So let me just say real quick. Did the Red Sox win today?
No, they're still playing. It's 2-1 Baltimore at this point. It's the bottom of the eighth.
Well, we of course are rooting for the Red Sox because we're world champs and we want to be world champs again. We like that. So let me just say this. Richard, have a good night and God bless you and God bless the United States of America.